This is Fresh Air. I'm TV critic David Bianculli of TVWorthWatching.com. If the history of war dramas about Iraq is any guide, HBO's new Generation Kill has a tough campaign ahead in the battle to interest viewers. Over There, an excellent FX drama about the current Iraq War, came and went in 2005 without most people watching or noticing, even though Stephen Bochco was one of its producers. And if you look at the box office results for movies about the current conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan, most of them have, well, pardon the expression, tanked. Even A Mighty Heart with Angelina Jolie and The Kingdom with Jamie Foxx. On TV, viewers have tended to accept shows about war only after those wars have cooled a bit in memory. World War II dramas like Combat didn't show up until about 20 years later in the 1960s. MASH was a huge hit during the Vietnam War, but despite its obvious parallels and parables, it was set during the Korean War from a previous decade. The first successful shows actually about Vietnam, China Beach and Tour of Duty, didn't appear until the mid-1980s. And perhaps in that respect, Generation Kill may have an edge that Over There, 3 years ago, did not. 3 years later, our national mood is measurably different. And Generation Kill plays the nostalgia card as much as it can by dramatizing the opening days and weeks of the ground assault in Iraq. Those were the days of shock and awe, the days of mission accomplished, the days of expecting grateful citizens to wave as tanks and Humvees rolled into Baghdad. Generation Kill throws us into the conflict through the perspective of Evan Wright, a reporter from Rolling Stone who's attached to the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion of the Marines. Lee Turkerson, from Oz, plays the reporter. And he experiences the war as the ground-level soldiers do, on and around the front lines. And, with an increasing sense of confusion and frustration, as missions lead to nowhere and supplies don't arrive from anywhere. After a poorly planned military maneuver leads to the destruction of supply trucks, one of the company commanders gathers his Marines to give them a pep talk. The heat is unbearable. The flies are inescapable. And the message, as we hear after the company is dismissed and the soldiers talk among themselves, is received with sarcasm.
And I know you're mad at the battalion, because as you know, I've been talking to you and I've heard you. And I know you're angry. I know you're angry that the supply truck was burned and you don't have that food to eat. You told me this, and I heard you. But you shouldn't be angry at your command. If you're angry at your command, then you're saying that it was our fault that the supply truck was burned. But we didn't burn the supply truck. The enemy burned the supply truck. They took your food from you. That's the important thing to remember. It was the enemy who stole your food from you, and you should be really, really mad at them. Before we step off on this next mission, I'm reminding you of who your enemy is. The enemy.
Thank you, sir. Company! Ate! Hut! Fall out!
I'm in awe.
There's a lot that Generation Kill gets right. It's definitely worth watching, because it unfolds the same way HBO's Band of Brothers did. Like that miniseries about World War II, Generation Kill confines the action to the soldiers carrying out the orders and shows the generals and other top-ranked officers only when they interact directly with their troops. The budget is bigger than in Over There, so the battle scenes and the scenery are more convincing. But the scope, in a way, is bigger too, and I'm not sure Generation Kill handles that as well as it could have. We're supposed to follow the action and the characters, not only in the vehicle carrying Turgeson's embedded reporter, but in 4 other primary vehicles. With everyone in fatigues or camouflage, and spending a lot of time under helmets or behind gun sights, it's not always easy to tell the players, even with a scorecard. But some performances do rise to the top. HBO provided 5 of the 7 episodes for preview. In those 5, there are several standouts. They include Alexander Skarsgård as Iceman, Billy Lush as the trigger-happy Trombley, Chance Kelly as the gravel-voiced Lieutenant Colonel known as the Godfather, and, as journalist Evan Wright, the always reliable Turgeson. The real Evan Wright is one of the writers on Generation Kill, along with David Simon and Ed Burns from The Wire. Simon and Burns get to chase their favorite obsessions here, too. They love to explore complicated and often contradictory characters and the mechanisms of various power structures that either solve problems or perpetuate them. There's plenty of all that in Generation Kill. Should people watch this miniseries? Yes. It's not as polished or as good as Band of Brothers, but it's a very strong drama. Will people watch this miniseries? Except for a million or two, I'm guessing they won't. But in this case, I applaud HBO for trying. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Bob Purdick. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. Our digital production project supervisor is Julian Hirschfeld. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm David B. Inculli. We'll end today with music from drummer Bobby Durham, who died on Monday in Italy at the age of 71. Durham was born in Philadelphia and played with a number of jazz greats, including Duke Ellington, Dizzy Gillespie, Lionel Hampton, Ella Fitzgerald, and Roy Haynes. He also led his own trio, and here they are, recorded in 2005.